The weather report tells us what we already know. It's hot and dry. We'll focus on the dry for our first interview today. The drought in the region is so severe, the federal Klamath Project released no water for irrigation this year, the first time that's ever happened. Unhappy farmers and their supporters are threatening to force open the gates to let water from Upper Klamath Lake into the irrigation system. That hasn't happened, though. The region on the Oregon side is represented in Washington by Representative Cliff Bentz in the Oregon 2nd District, which stretches from Grants Pass to the eastern corners of the state. Congressman Bentz took office just about 6 months ago, and he joins us now to talk about water issues. Congressman Bentz, thanks for joining us.
Glad to be with you, Jeff.
So you've got a couple of life experiences that should help in perspective anyway, in addition to legislator, lawyer, plus farmer, plus rancher, plus former Oregon water commissioner. On the land, I'm guessing you have some experience yourself getting through drought.
Well, I certainly do. I grew up on a cattle ranch in southeastern Oregon that was known as a desert operation, extraordinarily dry. I've had a lot of experience in that space. I'm familiar with drought, yes.
Yeah, so what does it take? I mean, no water for the Klamath Project is not the same as no water at all. How are people working the land in the Klamath Basin tapping into other water supplies this year?
Well, many of them aren't working the land at all because there is no water and they don't have access to well water. Some do. A small fraction of the total 220,000 acres has access to well water, but nothing close to the massive amount of acres that are going without water. So if you have a well and you're able to pay for the electricity to pump that water and then figure out some way of applying it to the land, you will be able to raise some sort of a crop. Otherwise, you're out of luck.
Did some of the measures taken in previous droughts expand the use of groundwater? Are there more wells than there used to be, for example, 20 years ago when this happened last time in a big way?
Oh, there's absolutely more wells. How many more? I do not know. But there's always been, I'm going to say, more wells on the California side because California has been much less aggressive in managing its groundwater resource. They just recently started to manage groundwater, and so not uncommon to see a lot of wells being drilled just over the border in California, but how impactful they are on the groundwater resource, we don't exactly know. But it's like a bank account, Jeffrey. It's you draw that water down, it may or may not be there next year.
So let's tap the lawyer, legislator, water commissioner part of your brain now. Is there any wiggle room within current laws and regulations that, in your opinion, has not been explored?
Well, it's certainly been explored. There is wiggle room, and in fact, there's a vast difference between the Biden administration approach to the current situation and the Trump administration. Under the Trump administration, there had been a decision made at the Bureau of Reclamation level to interpret the application of the Endangered Species Act in a way that allowed farmers access to stored water. And then under the Biden administration, that was reversed. And the position now of the Bureau of Rec is that the water stored for the farmers under Oregon law is not available to the farmers, but instead has to be allocated to the endangered species in the lake, the suckerfish, and then later on in the summer to the salmon downstream. The challenge here, Jeffrey, is to figure out ultimately whether or not there can be some balance and water allowed for at least a little bit of all of the uses. So that decision has not been made, and what we have is kind of a single species approach to the situation this year. The lake, by the way, is full. The Klamath Lake is full, and yet none of the water is being allowed onto that huge amount of now dry farmland, and instead it's all being allocated to these species.
All right, the species being the Lost River and Short-Nosed Sucker, or in the Klamath language is Quam and Kuptu. So that's where the priority lies, and you're saying that would that have been any different under the Trump administration?
Yes, so the Trump administration had determined that the water which is in the lake has been, not all of it, but a significant portion, 300,000-plus acre feet, had been stored water, and thus not in the Trump administration's approach, subject to the call by the Endangered Species Act. That interpretation has now been discarded, and the approach now under the current administration is that water is subject to call for the Endangered Species Act. And again, this is an all-or-nothing sort of a deal, and it's it's really sad, Jeffrey, that some of that water could have been used to at least charge the system, and by that I mean the ditches and canals in the project, thus maybe salvaging part of the groundwater. And so now wells of various people that live out in their homes out across that big area may have their wells dry up. I think it's already started. And some of the cities there, whether it's Malin, Merrill, Tule Lake, those little towns are seeing real challenges for their groundwater systems.
All right. So it would have been useful for recharge, but not necessarily for this year's agriculture.
Exactly. And this is again to say that the law is not as clear as it is, that I hope it someday is. There is a case pending in Northern California that addresses, we hope, this issue of whose stored water it is. Or under Oregon law, it belongs to the farmers. Under federal law, as interpreted by the Biden administration, it's available for the fish in the lake and the fish downstream from the lake.
Congressman Cliff Bentz, our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. You represented Harney County in the Oregon House at the time of the Malheur National Wildlife Refuge takeover. Are you getting any sense of deja vu watching people gather by the irrigation canal headgate in Klamath Falls?
A modest sense of that. And just so the record's clear, I support protest. I do not support violent protest. And by violent protest, I mean that which steps over the boundaries of the law. And so I've been happy to see that the protest thus far has been non-violent and non-illegal. That's very good, and we should all support those kinds of attempts to bring attention to this issue. And by the way, I've done everything I can do, well, not quite everything, I'm still working on it, here in Washington, D.C., to bring attention of the nation to the challenge in the climate. And for that matter, across the entire western United States, about 70 million people are being subjected to this drought. And when I was listening to the weather forecast just a few minutes ago for the western United States, I'm just going, oh, my goodness, the situation so dire and extreme for so many people this year, pretty much unheard of.
Well, you know, we asked Klamath water users and others in the past about retiring some land from agriculture. I know some is obviously already idled by the drought, but what long-term moves have already taken place? What do you think about other long-term moves to just shrink the land base where water is needed for growing season?
So ultimately, the community, the basin, has to decide what it wants its future to be. And it's very, very challenging because the system as it exists was built upon a set of laws that did not include the Endangered Species Act. And people were asked to come out and farm and homestead that land. And veterans, basically, from World War I and World War II were asked to come out and settle and build their families and homes and livelihoods based upon an allocation of water controlled by the state. And so in the 1972, when the ESA, Endangered Species Act, was passed, that brought a new claim for that water, and that combined with the ever-increasing dryness is creating a real, real challenge for the entire basin, frankly, for the entire United States. I just take a look at the Colorado system, for example, and there's a reset going on, but the reset has to be managed by the people themselves from the ground up, and I've been encouraging unity in that basin, get together, talk, figure this out.
What kind of unity? I mean, there have been discussions about the fact that there was the Klamath Basin Restoration Agreement that your predecessor, Greg Walden, is taking some of the blame for scotching. What do you think, I mean, is there a window here, particularly in these circumstances, to get something like that on paper again?
Well, I don't know if blaming Congressman Walden for it is quite the right thing to be doing. But rather than go back into that space, I think the proper focus is, can the community get together? Well, I think the better answer is the community must get together, and it must sort this out. And I'm going to help in any way I can. There are many things have changed since the Klamath Basin Restoration Agreement failed. But one thing that hasn't is that it's going to take a great deal of money to make the thing work. And then a lot of that has to do with how many of the imbalances are going to be fixed. And so, again, this has to start with the local community sitting down around a table and working it out. and a very, very challenging. I've been down there, Jeffrey, about 12 times since I was actually elected in the primary election. And boy, it's a complex situation.
Indeed. Now, I just noticed it was just a month ago today you gave your first floor speech in the House about water, joining Representative Doug LaMalfa from the California side in a $57 million proposal to address the Klamath water crisis. What's in that legislation?
So the legislation is designed to do a little to offset what has been estimated by some to be about a $400 million impact in the basin. And so the bill at $57 million was only going to address two or three of the interest groups. I've gone back into the basin and asked others, the Yuroks and the Yurok tribe and of course the Klamath tribe and the upper basin folks and the eastern basin folks to also provide what they think the damage is going to be this year. And so we're waiting for those numbers. Some of them are starting to come in, and we'll add those all into the bill. It will be more than $57 million that we'll be asking the government to step up and supply. And part of the justification for this, Jeffrey, is that this change in how the water is going to be allocated occurred as a result of the Endangered Species Act and partially as a result of how dry it is. And it's not right that that basin, that little bitty basin, be required to bear the burden of that cost. This is a federal choice and one that the federal government, the people of the United States, want the Endangered Species Act. The people of the United States have to step up and pay for the damage that this allocation is causing.
All right, so money to set right the damages caused by the implementation of the Endangered Species Act.
Correct. Mm-hmm. And by the way, this does not mean that this is going to solve everything. In the long run, we're going to have to sit down and work our way through this new paradigm, if you will, and figure out how to manage through it. And again, I don't want to be suggesting solutions. This is going to be up to the people in the basin.
All right. So are you essentially working on the end of trying to get the people who might have solutions together? I mean, are you seeing much in the way of movement among people who stand on opposite sides of water needs here and seeing some willingness to begin talks again?
Yes. And I've seen it over and over again over the months that I've spent going back and forth to Klamath Falls and other small towns around, meeting with the tribes several times. And in all of my conversations, people are struggling to figure out how to overcome past differences, of which there are many, and sit down at a table and try to sort this out. It's extraordinarily difficult, to talk about the types of significant changes that are going to have to occur. And so, but we're working on many different concepts, and I'm happy to share with you that I'm working on them too. So one of the interesting ones is to talk with the Klamath tribe at length about what it is that they need. One of the things that's been discussed is their more aggressive involvement in repair to the watershed. I think they're happy to discuss that and lots of discussion about what to do about the upper basin and how to make sure the water going into the lake is cleaner. I mean, there's many things that I think we can do to try to help.
One final question here. The California Fish and Game Commission added another fish run in the lower Klamath and Trinity Rivers to the State Endangered Species Act on Wednesday. Does this add more complexity to the demands on water that is already overpromised?
It sure does. The real challenge is to get everyone to the table and not have someone hide back in the weeds and wait until it's all done and then come running in and say, hey, what about us? Mm-hmm. That kind of unfortunate tactic has been all too common in negotiations with environmental interests that play that game, and we don't want to see that. That's not productive and just leads to a lot of people not believing in this process. So I'm hoping we can get everybody around the table, and I mean everybody.
All right. Congressman Cliff Bentz, representing Oregon's 2nd Congressional District, thank you for joining us today to talk about the water situation. I'm sure it won't be the last time.
Thank you, Jeffrey, very much.
All right, take it easy.